Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on ShakeAwakeRadio.com. Thanks for joining the show, and we are a viewer-supported station, guys, so if you like what we're doing over here and you like the content that's being presented, please reach into your pocket and throw a little into the kitty, because I know they could really appreciate it. And, of course, thanks to Stephen Roberts for coming in today and producing my shows. I am joined today by Billy Joyce, but quick note just before I let Billy start going here, because once I get Billy going, it's going to be hard to get him stopped. But just my thoughts real quick with the people in Spain right now looking at the updates of the flooding situations and the amount of water that's coming in right now. And it went from 100-year floods to 500-year floods to close to 1,000-year floods now they're experiencing in Spain. So my thoughts are with those people. Seems like we're seeing catastrophic events all over the planet right now. And last week it was the Bahamas, and this week it's Spain. What next week is, I don't know yet, but stay tuned. Thanks for joining me, Billy, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry. It's a pleasure to be here. It's interesting that you mentioned that last week it was the Bahamas. Last week it was also Nova Scotia.
Yes, I know Halifax got pounded. The whole
We were without electricity from, well, personally, I was without electricity from Saturday until Wednesday night. And some people on the island where I live only got their power back yesterday.
Yeah, I know. And the whole east coast of the United States and Canada got pounded by that storm.
Yeah. And the Bahamas. God help those people.
Well, yeah, it absolutely astounds me right now that there isn't a massive international effort being put forward to those people on the island, because what's happening right now, Billy, some of the reports I've seen here in the last couple of days, it just makes me want to cry. That these people are walking in the streets and the smell of dead bodies right now is so bad that they're having to wear almost respirators to go into these areas now. That we got billions of dollars for weapons and billions of dollars to build streets in Jordan, but when it comes to a humanitarian effort like this, we hear crickets from our government, and it's just a hypocrisy that we are so used to living with now. Real quick introduction. Billy is the PPC candidate for Cape Breton Council in Canada here. He's joined the party and supporting the party and is now a candidate. And boy, I'll tell you, we need more people like Billy. Billy, tell people why you joined the PPC first and what your vision is for the party. And then we're going to talk about the pet peeve of the day for you. Go ahead, bud.
Well, as far as why I joined the party, when I heard Maxime Bernier, I had heard of Maxime Bernier when he was running for the leadership of the Conservative Party against Andrew Scheer, Aaron O'Toole, and the full lineup of quote-unquote conservatives, and I use quote-unquote for a reason. It's because the People's Party of Canada turns out to be the only real conservative party that there is. The conservatives of Andrew Scheer, or even the conservatives of Stephen Harper, are not conservative in the least. They're more globalists. So when I heard Maxime Bernier say that he was leaving the Conservative Party to form his own party because the Conservative Party was reforming the party or straightening out the party was not possible, and that they were politically and intellectually corrupt, it was like a breath of fresh air. So I continued to follow Maxime Bernier. I continued to follow him on Twitter. I was then asked to join the local electoral district association. I became a member. Then I was elected vice president. Then the president resigned, and they asked me to step up as president, so I did. Now, I'm going to combine a bit of my pet peeve with vision with what's going on in the People's Party in Cape Breton Council. What happened is when I went looking for candidates amongst the business community, amongst community leaders, maybe people that ran non-for-profit organizations or people that may have had experience in municipal government, many of them were very reluctant because of the newness, I guess, for lack of a better word. I often think in French. But the newness of the People's Party of Canada made people reluctant because they apparently fear that if the People's Party of Canada doesn't form government and the Liberals or the Conservatives get in, that they could face repercussions either in their business life or in their personal life. Now, what does that say about the state of our government and the state of our country when upstanding citizens fear reprisal or negative pushback from political parties that have been in power off and on for the last 100 years. So what happened eventually is, being that I was the president of the EDA and we were having a hard time finding a really good candidate, the rest of the members of our board of directors and our membership were after me to run for the party, to run as a candidate in our riding. So after talking about it with my wife, and she wasn't all that crazy about the idea, but at the same time, being that I was president and my name was there as president, it probably would not have looked good if we couldn't field a candidate to be on the ballot. So I decided to throw my hat into the mix, and the People's Party accepted me. Right now, I've got over 100 signatures. I want to get 160 signatures, 170 signatures. And then all I got to do is go get that signed off by our local returning officer, and then Elections Canada will recognize me and I'll be on the ballot. As to why, everything the People's Party of Canada represents fits with my worldview. But I would say the straw that broke the camel's back, that's not really a good analogy of it, but what really pushed me over the edge was when Maxime Bernier announced that if his members of parliament, if he was elected prime minister, that his members of parliament would have the freedom to introduce private member bills, including opening the debate on abortion. And for me, that really hit home, because I have 8 first cousins that are adopted. There's a set of twins in the mix that are of mixed race. We adopted them into our very Caucasian family and raised them as our own. My aunt and uncle, we adopted them. They were just babies. And their mother was only 16 years old when she had them. So now not only do I have 8 first cousins that are adopted, I now have, upwards of 10 second cousins that come from adoption. And I believe with the technology that we have now, we can no longer just accept that in the second or third trimester, we're just getting rid of a piece of flesh. Because at 6 weeks, there's a heartbeat. At 12 to 14 weeks, what the scientific community has called for the last 40 years, a fetus. Well, that fetus has 10 toes, 10 fingers, eyes, nose, ears. And if they have all those things, it means they have a brain, because it's the brain that keeps the heart beating, and they've got nerve endings. And if they've got nerve endings, it means they feel pain. So I think we're at a point now where in Canada we owe it to the unborn babies that we're killing to be their voice, because there's an education that has to be done. And automatically people will jump and say, oh, you're taking away a woman's right to choose. No, not at all. The People's Party is based on individual freedom, personal responsibility, fairness, respect. I throw in integrity in there as well. So we have no problem at all with letting women choose. So, for example, in the case of a rape, what we propose is that if you're raped, like if you're legitimately raped, if the reason you want to have an abortion is because you were raped, well, first of all, we have what's called the morning after pill nowadays. So you could terminate the pregnancy the day after if there was a pregnancy. My personal belief is that the life starts at conception. But I put aside my personal beliefs to represent the people of Cape Breton Canso and to represent Canadians and to represent literal human living beings. Because once they have a heartbeat and once they have toes and all their digits and all their organs, to me, they're fully human. And if we oppose the culling of seals that are eating up our cod stocks and our lobster stocks, well, if we oppose that, how can we possibly allow our tax dollars to be spent on second and third trimester abortions and sending $500 million to third world countries to fund abortions there when there are so many people that can't have kids and that would love to adopt? In my 8 cousins that I have that are adopted, one was a high-ranking cabinet minister in Nova Scotia. 2 of them are school teachers. 1 of them is a truck driver with his own company. 2 of them are in the insurance business. 1 is a carpenter, and 1 is studying to become an engineer. The one studying to become an engineer is actually my godchild. So it hits close to home, and I believe there's a re-education that needs to be done. We don't want to take the woman's choice away, but what we want to do is make women responsible for the choices they make. In the case of a rape, it's not a choice that they made. But with the technology we have today and with the morning after pill, there's no reason why a rape victim shouldn't be able to get that abortion even before the baby has a heartbeat. Now, in the case of a mother's life being in danger, we believe a mother, a woman, should have the right, if her life is in danger, to choose at any point during her pregnancy. And that's the way we're approaching it. I know many people in the People's Party, many candidates. I believe Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, who's a candidate in one of the ridings in Alberta, I believe she already wrote a bill. And it's something that over 50 of the People's Party candidates support. And there needs to be a re-education. Because I'm almost certain that if all the women in Canada knew what was really going on during a second or third trimester abortion, they probably choose differently. I think of that movie Unplanned that went number one in the United States, and then it wasn't allowed in Canada. It still hasn't shown in my riding. They still haven't shown that at the local theater in my riding, to my knowledge.
They showed it locally. Sorry,
did they show it there
in Vanderhoof, BC? They showed it at the theater. I couldn't believe it. They had it at the theater. Anybody that's contemplating abortion and wants to know, like you said to Billy, about third and second trimester abortion, you've got to go see this show, folks, because it tells the other side of the story. And that side of the story is not being told by any of the mainstream media propaganda or anybody that's propagating the abortion agenda. And that's what it is, Billy. It's murder. And I agree with you. Life begins at conception.
And it's a money-making machine.
Big
people
time.
Do not realize Project Veritas went undercover, interviewed Planned Parenthood employees, and
they admitted
to selling fetal tissue. I mean, I believe it was Sandra Bullock on the Ellen DeGeneres show one day that bragged about her face cream containing the foreskin of Asian babies.
Yeah, right on mainstream TV.
On mainstream television, and no one flinched. Yeah.
What did you say? Are we in the Twilight Zone here, Billy? I mean, like, are we still really, is this really happening? It is.
It is happening. And in Canada, hospitals are forced to report details of complications and details of the abortion. Now, clinics are not. All clinics do is report the overall number. And in Canada right now, since the 1980s, we've averaged somewhere between 80 and 100,000 abortions every year. Now, when I went to do studies on sexual assault, now in Canada, we don't call it rape anymore. It's sexual assault level 1, level 2, or level 3. Level 2 and level 3 are the more violent ones, and they only represent a small percentage of all of them, and I think the total number is somewhere in the vicinity of 10,000 or so. And then when you go look at complication rates for all pregnancies, that falls into the anywhere from 5 to 10%, and complications that could cause death to the mother or death to the baby are between 2 and 5%. So if you look at overall, there might be 300,000 births every year. There are 100,000 abortions. Amongst those 100,000 abortions, it's well over 60 to 70,000 babies that are aborted for no good reason but convenience. So when you look at this going on since the 1980s, we talk about the need for immigrants for work. Well, a lot of those kids that were aborted in the 1980s and 1990s would be of working age right now and would be having kids of their own.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I know it's a sensitive topic, but when people ask me why I joined the People's Party, well, it's a relief to finally have the leader of a federal party willing to let his members present private member bills, because after all, our system of democracy was meant to be, for example, in my case, I'm supposed to go to Ottawa to represent the people of Cabrini-Canso first and foremost. If I do town halls all around this riding and they tell me that they don't want me to bring the abortion debate to Ottawa, I probably won't. But I will tell them what I just told you. I told this story. I told someone at a restaurant, a waitress behind the bar, I didn't realize she was pregnant, and she started crying, and she proceeded to tell me that she's got one boy, but she has a hard time carrying to term, and she's gone through 12 pregnancies, and now she's pregnant again, and I'm just praying that she's able to carry to term, But when I gave her some of those statistics, she began to weep. And I began to weep with her. And today, when I gave my speech at the rally we had, I noticed some young ladies in the crowd that were crying. And they came to me after and told me that they had no idea that in Canada, especially the third trimester, they were absolutely shocked at that. That third trimester abortions are legal. You can walk into a clinic in most provinces. Now, don't get me wrong, some provinces and some hospitals refuse to perform them. But tax dollars are being used for second and third trimester abortions, not just here in Canada, but we're sending money all over the world for this.
It absolutely blows my mind, Billy, that we've allowed this kind of stuff to actually perpetrate and infiltrate our society. And look where we are right now. We're supposed to be intelligent people, yet we're killing our unborn. What other species on the planet does that, Billy? I mean,
we're the only
folks,
ones.
We got to wake up to this, because the side of the story that Billy's talking about and what I support is not being told by any mainstream media. That it is absolutely being quashed, that this information needs to get out. That people really got to start looking at what we're doing as a so-called intelligent species. Go ahead, Billy.
Well, I don't know if people even understand how the abortion is carried out. Because when I started my speech today, I told them, I said, I may say things today that are going to shock you. I may say things that are going to make you cry. I may say things that are going to anger you. But people need to know what the hell we're doing. The procedure is called dilation and evacuation. It sounds fancy, eh? It sounds like one of those medical terms that, oh, look, dilation and evacuation. That sounds perfectly safe. Well, what they do is they literally dilate the woman's cervix, and then they go in with a pair of giant tongs or giant tweezers that have teeth on them. They clamp down on whatever it is they clamp down on in there, and they pull. And if it comes apart, it comes apart. And in most cases, it does come apart. And at the end of the procedure, the abortionist has to take all the little baby parts and put them back together in a petri dish to make sure he didn't leave anything inside the mother's womb. Now, the first time I tried describing this, or the first time I read about this, I wept like a baby. Now I'm at the point where I'm just so damn pissed off about it. It's like I just let it out. This is what they do. And if it bothers you and it's going to give you nightmares tonight, well, maybe you want to stand up for those babies that don't have a voice, and maybe you want to stand up and let the government know that you don't want your taxpayer dollars going to infanticide, because that's what it amounts to. If my dog was sick and ready to die tomorrow, and I decided to quarter him, if I decided to tie his front paws to a tree and tie his back paws to a Jeep and put it in drive and pull, I'd end up in jail. But we allow it to happen to unborn babies.
Yeah, I watched a movie on Plan Billy, and it broke me right down when I really kind of grasped what's going on in second and even and third terms abortions. It's just what has gone wrong with the human race? What's happened to our hearts that society allows this to go on? Our hearts have been destroyed. Our moral base has been destroyed in society, and that's why we find ourselves where we are today, Billy.
No, I agree with you completely. One of the things I mentioned today is all the isms we have in the world now. Atheism and secularism and Hinduism and Eastern mysticism, and people forget that Canada and the Western world was built on Christianism. I'm sorry,
exactly.
But you go back to 1971 in Canada, and 99% of the population pretty much identified as either Catholic or Protestant. And when you get down to the nitty gritty, Catholics and Protestants both claim to follow the same book, which is the Holy Bible. And in that Bible, it tells us that we'd be better off to have a millstone hung around our neck and thrown into the ocean than to harm even a hair on the head of a baby or a child. So I think what we've done is we've shit, pardon my language, but we've done. We've shit on our own tradition and our own cultures to bring in these cute, fancy, strange cultures. And a lot of it, I mean, I'm a fan of the Beatles' music, but a lot of people don't realize that came along with the Beatles were the first ones to bring a shaman monk to North America and introduce us to Eastern mysticism. On one of their albums, they had a bunch of babies with the heads cut off, and they had meat sitting on their lap. What were they trying to tell us with that one? On another album, they had, I believe it was the Sgt. Pepper Club or something like that. Does that make sense? Is that the Beatles?
Yep.
Well, Sgt. Pepper's a reference to Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley's the father of Satanism.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that, Billy. They don't know
Well,
that.
A lot of people don't know that. I guess the 10 years of, quote-unquote, useless research.
Yeah, I knew that. But most people don't go down that rabbit hole, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, the tentacles started a long, long time ago.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, back in the day, the Americans that we've been trained to believe are backwood, redneck, gun-toting crazies, well, I think the Americans, especially down in the Bible thumper states, I think they're the ones that got it right. they're the ones that haven't forgotten what built their country. It's hard to explain. Like I said that today, people ask me why I'm doing it. I'm doing it for my kids and their kids and their future grandkids. Because if we don't do something right now, the Canada that my kids' kids and their kids are going to have to grow up in is not going to resemble the Canada that we grew up in. And when I say not resemble, I mean there's a risk that my future great-great-granddaughter at 9 or 10 years old may be forced to marry a 45-year-old Muslim man, because Sharia law will be the law of the land if we don't do something immediately.
I don't think we have that long myself, Billy, the way I see things going right now and the way it's being ramped up.
I'm not even sure 4 years of Andrew Scheer wouldn't be too much. Like, if we don't get Maxime Bernier, if we don't get the People's Party of Canada either in governance or holding the balance of power, we may not recognize Canada in 4 years, because it's the Conservatives that signed us up to Agenda 2030. It's the Conservatives that signed us up to Agenda 21. It's the Conservatives that signed us up to the Organization for Islamic Cooperation.
Yes,
the Conservatives did absolutely nothing. I've got an article here in front of me. A lot of people don't realize this, but I don't know if you've ever heard of a lady named Nadine Scow.
I've heard the name, Billy. Go ahead.
Okay, well, Nadine Scow, her accused killer, and now he's confessed to the crime, but he came here as a refugee from the Sudan back in 2005 or 2006, and then he was convicted of assault and sexual assault. There was a deportation order imposed on him, and then a Canadian lawyer got him a stay, so he was granted a stay. And, of course, at that time, Stephen Harper, well, not at that time, but shortly thereafter, Stephen Harper became prime minister. And then during Stephen Harper's tenure as prime minister, the man committed more assault and sexual assault, but they didn't deport him. So then in 2015, he ends up killing this girl, Nadine Scow. He stabs her 100 times. Removes all her organs and pins her heart to the wall with a knife. Now, Harper didn't do anything to get this guy out. So if Harper would have done his job, Nadine Scow may still be alive today. If Trudeau had done his job, maybe Nadine Scow would be alive today. You look at cases like Marissa Shen, 13 years
She'd
old.
Be alive.
And, the community raised money to bring this man into their community, and he turned around and raped her and killed her.
Yeah, well, hey, you see the news clip this morning, Billy, that 7 people walked in on a crowd of people indiscriminately last night in Mississauga, Ontario, and opened fire on the crowd. Did you follow that feed yet?
I haven't seen that because I've been busy all day with campaigning.
Wow. Unbelievable. 100 rounds fired. 7 guys indiscriminately walked into a crowd of people, were targeting a rap group, and fired 100 rounds into the crowd. We're seeing this kind of stuff go on almost daily now in Canada, and it absolutely astounds me that literally every day now, Billy, I'm seeing these kind of reports, and it's only getting worse. Go ahead.
Yep. Well, have you seen this thing with machete attacks?
Well, yeah, and then, of course, we had another one. Well, how many have we seen here in the last week alone?
Last week alone, there was a woman who came to Canada from Sri Lanka to be with her husband in 2017, is the victim of a fatal machete attack.
And by her husband? Yep.
Yeah, by her husband. And then 2 dead after a barbaric stabbing in Kingston, Ontario.
Yep.
And
top shot
again,
the guy.
Again, yep. It's these peaceful refugees.
Well, yeah.
Did you hear about the Quebec judge that removed a teenager from the family home after she fled a forced marriage?
Yep.
You know,
the law they just passed in Quebec, like it or not, it's a step in the right direction, because what Quebec is doing right now is absolutely putting a line in the sand against the invasion on their culture, an invasion on their province, an invasion on Canadian culture and their standards by entities that come in here and use our system against us. And Bill 21, I think it is, C-21 that just passed in Quebec. There's things about it I don't like, but there's a lot of things about it I do like, Billy. We have to start making controversial calls. People come to this country. If I was to move to Germany, Billy, I'd want to assimilate to German culture. I'd want to live by their laws. If I moved somewhere else in the world, I would make an effort to live by their laws and live by what that country sets down as a standard, if I'm going to be a citizen of that country. But we don't see that in Canada. We see massive amounts of different cultures and groups coming into Canada that will never assimilate to our culture and are basically undermining our society. It's getting worse by the day, and these kind of attacks are almost commonplace now in Canada. Well, I grew up in this country like you, Billy, and I don't remember anything like this ever happening in Canada when I was a child or growing up. So to say things aren't changing for the worse, you have to have your head in the sand. What's it going to take, folks? One of your relatives to get killed before you get active? Go ahead, Billy.
I think that's where we're at. I think we've become so narcissistic and so self-centered and so, quote-unquote, my shit doesn't stink.
I don't know that... swearing on the network, okay, Billy? Please? Try not to use those words, because it really, I am simulcast on a Christian network, and I try to use the word poop or something like that. So please, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
We believe our poop doesn't stink, when in reality, we really need to pull our heads out of the sand, because there's something wrong with our society. It's sick. It's literally good versus evil. And a lot of people
don't exactly
realize
what we're
seeing.
Well, coming from a Christian perspective, I am a Christian, Billy. I don't get into really putting that into perspective as far as the conversation goes. But when I reflect on it, everything I see right now is according to the book that I read. So I know kind of what's coming, where they're pushing society, how they're conditioning us to a one world government, how they can control our currency, how they control every aspect of our life. We think we're free citizens. We're free to go to work, watch your TV, drink your beer, and don't look over here because we've got it under control. That's how free we are in Canada.
Yeah,
so right now what I see is a monumental struggle against good and evil. I see a society that is absolutely hitting the bottom as far as our moral standards. When we allow drag queens to come into our libraries and tell stories to 5 and 6 year old children, when we allow drag queens at 11 years old to pose with naked women, and that being exposed on mainstream media and magazines across the country, you know we've hit bottom. And
well, CBC has a series called Drag Kids.
Yeah, I know. And boy, I watched that, Billy, and I'll tell you, the last little blood I had in my body that's been boiling left me. Believe me. Go ahead.
That's one of the reasons the People's Party of Canada wants to cut the funding, if not completely, at least a very good portion of it, of the CBC. Those are our tax dollars being used to push a radical left-wing agenda that is not compatible at all. If our forefathers were alive right now,
they'd be rolling over. They'd be screaming.
They'd be crying and screaming, and at worst, they'd probably bear arms and go to war against the literal war against the factions that turned this country into what it's become.
Well, if our forefathers were alive right now, there wouldn't be a question in my mind at all. They'd be picking up arms and they'd be going to war against this government, because if you look at how much society has changed in the last 30 or 40 years, and I'm a little older than you, Billy, by 10 years, but I have seen unbelievable changes in our society in the last 30 years, more so when I started growing up and I started to see, the hippie generation and the protests against Woodstock and all this other stuff started coming up. And then all of a sudden you had women's rights appear in the picture. And then you had global warming appear in the picture. And all these things they've done over the years, slowly, slowly, incrementally, they have taken away a majority of our rights, and people still don't see it. They think they're living in a free society. Well, we're not. The RCMP are an example of that. Boy, what a bunch of crap going on there, Billy A.
Well, did you see how it took American intelligence agencies
to bring it to our attention? Yeah. Same thing in Kingston there when they warned the Kingston police about the two guys that were going to let off bombs. That came from American intelligence, the Canadian.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They go, what? Oh, we better go arrest these guys. We're going to look really bad, aren't we? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. What a joke.
But then we turn around and we insult the Americans. That's what I don't understand. Well, they're the greatest ally you could possibly have on the face of the planet, and they're our next-door neighbors, and we spend our time insulting them and insulting their duly elected president. And then we think they're going to do us favors? Do people not realize? My cousin is a civilian that works at the Navy Yard in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And he told me the same thing a lady told me yesterday who's family members are in the Navy. They're having a hard time fueling up the ships. They can't do exercises with blanks because we can't afford to just give them blanks and test the different guns. And you know, like, they have a hard time getting paid because of that Phoenix pay system. They have to fight for any raise that they want. And we can't even afford to buy a prosthetic leg for a woman who lost her child and her leg dropping off her child at her mother's because her and her husband had been deployed simultaneously. So if we can't even take care of the people that risk their lives to ensure our freedom and our safety, there's something wrong. A friend of mine was telling me that when he was in the military, when they did training exercises, they went around with guns, but they couldn't afford blanks. So they go around yelling, bang, 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 I got you, bang, bang.
Wow.
But in the meantime, we're sending $50 million to Pakistan every year, and we've been sending tens of millions of dollars to Ethiopia every year for the last 40 years, and all kinds of money going all over the place for roads and combating climate change, and they use fancy words like family planning. Well, all they're saying there really is abortion.
Yep.
it's sick what's going on. And if we can't put our veterans, our seniors, and our First Nations communities that are without running water, without potable water, without drinking water, before we deal with foreign aid, there's a problem. Maxime Bernier calls this a common sense revolution, and I believe he's right, because everything the government is doing defies logic and defies common sense.
It defies the human spirit is what it does.
It's the human soul. Yeah, a lot of people are like, well, Billy, you're against immigration. That's not very Christian of you. I'm like, well, I said, I've got a family. I said, let's say another family moved next door. And me and my wife are just barely getting by. We can barely feed our own kids. Would we forego feeding our own kids to feed the family next door? Or feed a family in the next village down the street and let our own kids starve? It defies logic. It's like saying that, oh, we should have open borders. Well, really? I ask people that say that. I'm like, do you lock your door at night? And, of course, they answer yes. So then I call them bigots. I'm like, well, you're a bigot then. And then they realize that what they're saying makes no sense. Canada is Canada. The United States is the United States. We're our own country. They're their own country. Don't tell me that people coming up from New York are in danger of losing their lives and have to seek refugee status in Canada. That doesn't make any sense. And last time I checked, when refugees come to Canada, they're supposed to be sent back to their home countries to help rebuild once the conflict is over. That's not what we do. Instead, we bring in their grandparents and their parents, who are too old to work anyway, and they go on the social benefit programs that we pay into, and my grandmother and my father have to live off peanuts every month, and they've paid into the system for 50 years. And you get newcomers coming in that are pretty much given the same amount of money.
Or if not more. I've read multiple reports, and I've tried to get to the bottom of it. But what they're basically doing, man, these people walk into our country, they instantly get welfare, and they get free medical. I'm trying to vet for sure if they get free dental, but I've been told that also, and I've read a couple of reports on that. But just the fact that these people are vetting our immigration system, walking in from upstate New York, claiming asylum, coming in with their designer suitcases and their cell phones and their $1,500 suits, walking into Canada and absolutely abusing our social services. And that's why they're flocking here like crazy right now. Billy, and our government has created this problem, but it's done by design. You know that, and I know that, that there's much, much more behind the scenes going on than just a problem at the border, that we're seeing an actual invasion right now, in my opinion, of Canada. to undermine all facets of our society, and that's got to come to a stop. I'm not anti-immigration. My great-great-great-grandparents came from England and Ireland, immigrated to North America, but they didn't get a welfare check the day they got off the boat. They had to work for everything they earned in their lives, and they supported the system, and they were good citizens living under the tax systems in the country. And they built Canada what it is today. And now we see thousands and thousands of people walking into our country and instantly being given unbelievable amounts of money. Well, what is that doing? We're robbing from our great-great-grandchildren right now that we will never see a balance in the books in Canada. Now it's almost physically and fiscally impossible to get rid of the deficit that we've already acquired. Almost
the
impossible.
The only way to do it would be you'd have to deport all the illegal immigrants that came here illegally, and we'd have to respect what refugees are supposed to be and send back the refugees to the countries where they came from now that peace has been restored there. It will literally take a rebuilding, and some of them are probably not going to go peacefully. Yeah, that's the scary part, is that we've allowed it to get this far, and the People's Party of Canada is the only party interested in taking care of Canadians first. Andrew Scheer sat down recently with an imam who put out a publication in Ontario about the necessity of sometimes beating your wife.
Yep.
You know, like Andrew Scheer, he says one thing in Quebec and he says something else in Alberta. He's on the record saying that he's going to seek a seat at the UN Security Council. Aaron O'Toole, will probably end up with a big cabinet position if Scheer gets in. He said that he wants to tighten our relationship with Saudi Arabia. Ahmed Hussein, the Minister of Immigration, says that if the Liberals don't form government, he's going to return to his home country of Somalia.
I'll pay for the pledge of it. Go ahead. He's going to return to Somalia and
use his legal expertise to help Somalians immigrate to Canada.
Well, he wants to bring a million in, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, and if people, like, remember when Salim Mansour, the candidate, I think it's London Centre, I'm not sure, but he's one of our candidates that the Conservatives didn't want, because Salim Mansour identifies as Muslim, but he's not an Islamist.
Right.
What people, it's like, for example, in Christianity. Okay, you've got Roman Catholics, you've got Protestants, you've got Greek Orthodox. Amongst the Protestants, you've got Baptist, you've got Lutheran, you've got Calvinist, you've got the Mormons, Jehovah's Witness would consider themselves Christian. So you've got all these different sects of Christianity. Well, in the same sense, there's the same thing with Muslims. Like, I spoke to an imam who lives in Cape Breton Island. He's part of what's called the Ahmadiyya Muslim, and they also fear radical Islam because they were chased out of, I believe it was Pakistan, by both the Shiite Muslims and the Sunni Muslims, because they don't believe that the Ahmadiyya Muslims are real Muslims.
Right.
So you've got a guy like Salim Mansour, who's a professor of political science at a university in Ontario, running for the People's Party of Canada, because the Conservatives were scared that he might bring accusations of Islamophobia to the Conservative Party, because he wrote a book called Multiculturalism. I think it was the Infallible Lie, or the – I don't have the titles in front of me. But he wrote one book on how multiculturalism and government-sponsored multiculturalism is a big lie and how it's not good for society. And then he wrote another one called Political Entrism or Entryism, and it's on Islam and political Islam and how there are many, many, many refugees and immigrants coming to Canada that want nothing less than the imposition of Sharia law in Canada. And I've seen many people interviewed by the rebel media indicate very plainly, well, what are you going to do in 2060? I don't know. I included this in one of my videos. And it's this guy wearing a ball cap. He's got a leather jacket on, a pair of jeans. Just looks like your average Canadian. And David Menzies with the Rebel Media asked him, what do you do in your home country with homosexuals? And he said, we execute them. Just like that, we execute them. And, of course, Menzies was surprised. He's like, don't you think that's a little extreme? The guy says, well, that's our law. That's Sharia law. And then Menzies asked him, well, would you like to see Sharia law in Canada? And the guy says, would I like to see it? He says, I will see it. He says, we're having all kinds of babies. You guys aren't. He's like, in 40 years, we'll be the majority. We'll have Sharia law. And then what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And Menzies couldn't answer.
What are we going to do about it,
really? It's a question every Canadian should be asking themselves. And instead, we're scared to ask ourselves that question because we're scared of the obvious answer.
Yeah, or we'll be labeled if we question anything that's going on. And the tool of political correctness is one that's got to be called out and identified in Canada.
Because yeah, they well, use M1, it M103.
M103, I mean, what a blasphemy law. I never thought I'd live to see the day in Canada where we would be bringing in a blasphemy law, where I can go to jail now for simply speaking against something that is so true and so relevant in our society. Go ahead, Billy.
Well, it's funny because it's blasphemy law, but it's only blasphemy law if you blaspheme Allah or if you blaspheme the God of the Muslims. Because let's face it, right? The LGBTQ community. Okay, now that's a controversial subject as well. But according to my belief, the rainbow was given to us after the flood as a promise that God would never flood the earth the way that he did at the Great Flood. Now, whether people believe that or not, I believe that as a Christian. So a community that represents something that the Bible says is not healthy, the word that's used in the Bible is an abomination. Now, I believe that we live in a society where there's been so many chemicals put into our food supply, including bisphenol A, that I wouldn't be surprised if there are people that are actually born with a tendency to be attracted to the opposite sex. And because of that, because we have to be compassionate towards them, although I disagree with marriage inside of any church for the LGBTQ community, I believe that legally they should be allowed to live together and they should be allowed to leave their inheritance to one another when they die. To me, that's just being courteous towards them. But the fact that they hijacked the rainbow, that could be seen as blasphemy against Christianity or against the Christian God, but that's not protected.
No, not at all.
Abortion could be seen as going against the teachings of Christianity, but that's not protected. You've got Jonathan Yaniv. Well, he was Jonathan Yaniv until November of 2018. Now he's Jessica Yaniv, and Bill C-16, which is the one where transgender people can't have their basic human rights infringed upon. So this guy here used that to take 15 estheticians from British Columbia to human rights tribunals because they refused to wax his still existing male genitalia, even though she goes by Jessica. She still has the male genitalia that Jonathan had. And estheticians, for religious reasons, said, no, I can't do that. I'm a married woman, and I refuse to touch male genitalia. I'm not giving you a bikini wax. Well, Jessica Yaniv's rights are protected, but the esthetician's rights aren't protected.
Exactly.
How does that work? Like, what planet are we on? And this Jessica Yaniv is like a 300 pound man who goes around on a scooter and walks with a cane, but yet when he's approached by media, can run around and hit the media with a cane.
Yeah, like Menzies. He attacked him. Look, bruises all over this guy's body. A rebel reporter, man. Still up in the air. They're going to be charged. Whether that's still up in the air right now, whether he's going to get charged criminally, and I hope to heck they do because the evidence is overwhelming if you watch the video, Billy. Go ahead.
It's on videotape.
The guy comes out of his wheelchair and beats his reporter, hits him about six times with a cane, is chasing him around. Yeah, you're disabled. And he gets his transit disabled pass and rides around town in a wheelchair. It's a joke. It's not a joke because it just goes to show you how far we've gotten, Billy, and how big of a fight we've got in front of us right now when society entertains this kind of insanity. Go ahead.
Well, and the only political party and the only leader of a political party out there that's willing to tackle these taboo topics is Maxime Bernier. I've never seen a politician attack political correctness like this guy does, ever. And it's a breath of fresh air. And I hope Canadians wake up and realize it, because I mean there are quote unquote patriotic groups out there that, you know, and I get it. Like there's I'm thinking of the Mythos Canada. There's another group, geez, I forget what their name is, COC or CAC or something coalition.
There's lots of groups.
You know, there's lots of groups out there, and I get it that, you know, Canada might not be a legitimate country or our constitution might not be valid or whatever. Well, like it or not, there's an election on October 21st.
Exactly.
And there is going to be a new prime minister. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the Liberals are shot. They lost party status there in Manitoba last week during that provincial election. They lost party status in Ontario. They got wiped out in New Brunswick. They got wiped out in Prince Edward Island.
How they're
still polling at 34%, I don't know. But I'm guessing it's someone that received part of that $600 million bailout doing the polls.
You think?
You know.
Hey, Billy, any independent poll will tell you an exact opposite story, that right now I'm seeing something happen in Canada that has got me enthused, that people I'm talking to now are talking about this, that we see an incredible rise in attention all of a sudden to what's going on inside this party. I see incredibly intelligent people getting involved in this party, people with great, great, great esteem and high levels of intelligence getting involved. And that speaks volumes for the heart and the soul of the people that are getting involved. People like yourself, who are in here for the reason and the same reason that everybody else is in here, because we want to try and save something that is so great and so beautiful, and we see it being destroyed in front of our faces, and our kids are going to pay the price if we don't step up to the plate right now, Billy, period.
No, I agree with you fully. I think you're probably familiar with the sign that went up a little all over Canada in the major cities, say no to mass immigration.
Yeah.
Well, here in Halifax, which is the capital of my home province, there was a billboard that went up, and the CTV News Atlantic, which is the most viewed news program in Atlantic Canada, they did an online poll. There was 2,888 respondents to the poll, and the question was, should the sign that said "Say No to Immigration" have been brought down? And what do you think of the sign that says "Say No to Mass Immigration"? Should it have been brought down? One of the options was no. There was nothing wrong with the sign. It should have stayed there. 36% answered no. There was nothing wrong with the sign. It should have stayed there. 34% answered agree or disagree. This is freedom of speech. The sign should have stayed up. So that's 70% either says there was nothing wrong with it, it should have stayed, or that's freedom of speech, it should have stayed. Only 30% of respondents said the sign was offensive, it should have been removed. But yet it's the 30% that got their way. So when is the silent majority going to stand up and take back this country? Because that's how Donald Trump won his election in the U.S. So is the silent majority going to do the same here?
Well, I really hope and I think we're starting to see that awakening coming right now, Billy, because the more they push back against this party and what it represents and what it's saying to Canadians, the more Canadians are becoming interested. Jody Craven, my local PPC candidate here, he called me this morning, and I'll tell you, it was the most encouraging call I've ever had, because he says, I can't go out in public now without being bombarded with questions. Literally. He says, I've never, ever, ever seen this before in my life, where people want to hear what he has to say. I'm going to be going door to door with him locally here, Billy, and supporting him
100%.
Because really, people got to know the information, and you are not getting it through mainstream. But people are yearning for the information. They are.
There was a poll done here in the riding. I forget the name of the riding because I think it's King's Hants East or something along those lines, but it includes a little town called Kentville, Nova Scotia. And our candidate down there, his name is Matthew Southall. He's been campaigning hard all summer. And about 3 weeks ago, because when they did it, there was 2 months to the election. And it was 94.9, a local radio station here. I went to the website. I saw the poll with my own two eyes. They didn't have the sampling numbers, so I don't know how many people actually answered the poll. But what the question they asked was, the election is in 2 months. Which federal party will you be voting for?
Right.
The only options they gave were Liberal, Conservative, NDP, Green, and Other. The Other ended up with 71%.
Duh. Imagine that, eh?
The Other ended up with 7%. And the only other is Matthew Southall of the People's Party of Canada. I announced my candidacy officially with the People's Party of Canada in Cape Breton, Canso, last week, and it took less than 3 or 4 days for Vice Canada to stick a reporter on my YouTube channel and go dig up any and all controversial things I've ever said on my YouTube channel and start tweeting out about it. I was actually featured in a Vice Canada. I was front page on the Vice Canada website on the 11th of September. And the way that they portrayed it was QAnon conspiracy theorist running for office in Canada. And they basically said, never in the history of politics of North America has there been a bigger conspiracy theorist running for public office.
I got to laugh at the insanity, but it's not insane, folks. This is what we're up against right now. Hey, Billy, we're down to the last 5 minutes of the show here. So we're going to have to shut it off here in a minute. But before we go, I'd like to a couple last comments and share with people where they can find you and follow what you're doing. Billy does lots of videos and podcasts himself, folks. So take a look at what he's doing. Go ahead, Billy.
Well, on YouTube, it's just youtube.com/C/Billy Joyce. On Twitter, just look for Billy Joyce 1976. And on Facebook, just do a search for Billy Joyce as well. I'm running in Cape Breton, Canso. But I guess the message I have for all Canadians is, are we going to stand up for veterans? Are we going to stand up for our armed forces? Are we going to stand up for our First Nations communities? Are we going to stand up for the unborn babies that don't have a voice? Are we going to stand up and stop the elite establishment from destroying our country from the inside out? Are we going to stand up for Canadians first and take care of other countries once everyone in Canada is taken care of? Because that's what we're facing. We're at a crossroads, and it's literally the future of Canada as we know it that's on the line. And there's only one party. That's it. The others are all compromised. Maxim Bernier and the People's Party of Canada is the only option right now. And I'm sorry to all the people that support Andrew Scheer. They've been deceived. That the Conservative Party of Canada is no more conservative than the Liberals. And absolutely. Unfortunately, if they end up in power, we'll be lucky to come out of it four years from now. The only good thing that could come of that is that 4 years from now, people will wake up because they'll see how much more damage is done, and then the People's Party will probably form a majority in 2023. What I'm hoping for the people that think that voting for Maxim Bernier is splitting the vote, I want people to consider this. There are 338 ridings across this country. The Liberals are probably going to end up losing. They'll be lucky if they get 50 seats. That's the way I see it. I just think they've done so much to piss off so many people that they may very well cease to exist within a couple of years. What I believe may happen, especially if Maxim Bernier is allowed into the federal debates, if the commission changes their mind and Maxim Bernier is allowed to be heard on national television, I believe the People's Party of Canada will hold the balance of power. I believe we'll pick up probably anywhere from 30 to 40 seats. The Conservatives will probably end up with 160 or so. Okay. And then the Liberals, the NDP, and the Green are going to split the rest.
Billy, I got to cut you off, buddy. Sorry about that. We're running out of time. We could go on for another hour. Thanks for joining me today, buddy. And I'm going to take a break here, folks, for a couple of minutes. And I'm going to be back with Kevin J. Johnson. And I'm looking forward to talking with Kevin. I hadn't had him in for a while, and he is a firecracker. So stay tuned. Thanks again, Billy, and keep up the good work, my friend.
Thanks, Barry. God bless you.
Bye for now. Okay, folks, we'll be back in 2, 3. Welcome back to the second hour, folks, and thanks again to Billy Joyce for joining me and sharing his thoughts the first hour. Second hour here, it's my pleasure to be joined by Kevin Johnson. I haven't had Kevin on the show here for a while. I'm gracious for him gathering me some time today to have a chat. Lots of things going on in Canada. Kevin's got quite a few stories to tell you, I'm sure. And welcome to the second hour here, Kevin, and always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Barry, thanks very much for the phone call. I really appreciate that. Kevin J. Johnson here from freedomreport.ca. And, you know, Barry, you said, Kevin, find something that's bothering you. Now, it could be the scab in between my two toes here, but I think less important than that would be social media giants. And I'll say this. I'm so absolutely thrilled that most of my audience and a lot of your audience, I'm sure, are starting to catch on to the fact that social media platforms, far left extremist idiots like, oh, I don't know, Mark Zuckerberg and all the fools that run Google and Twitter, they've been censoring everybody left, right, and center. But the alternate media out there is starting to take off in a very big way. Now, I, for one, have had 7 YouTube channels taken down. I went through all the records. There are 7 of them that have been taken down. And really, for the stupidest of reasons. But that is what these major tech giants are doing. Facebook has killed 4 of my pages now, and I think Twitter nailed at least 10 of my accounts. I can't even remember how many Twitter accounts of mine were pulled down. But I'll say this. BitChute is an alternative to YouTube that I absolutely adore. And you know what, Barry? Between everything you've said about me and Mike Phillip over at American Nuck and Michael Arena, yeah, all of us combined, we've been pushing alternate media. I've had 40,000 views on my BitChute channel in the last 2 weeks alone. It's actually doing better than my YouTube channel, my new YouTube channel, by a whole lot. So what I want to say to everybody out there is don't worry about the big mainstream social media giants, because they're very rapidly not able to maintain that giantcy. They are falling apart. Barry, I don't know if you're new about this, but Facebook is facing almost $12 billion in fines U.S. And Google has lost $3.5 billion this year so far. So we've got, the giants. They're falling apart. They are falling apart. And I'm kind of like more than thrilled CNN about that.
And CBC and CTV and Global.
Yeah. How about that? Here. Let's depress everybody right now. The CBC, they get $1.42 billion a year of our money, your money to spend, and they have been unable in the last decade to put a single show in the top 20 in the ratings inside of this country. How does that sound?
Yeah.
Time to get them out of here. So what I want to say to everybody, if all of you or any of you out there have YouTube channels and you do what Barry does or what I do, jump on to bitchute.com. That's BitChute. So bit and shoot, I guess as in poop shoot, .com. Get an account going and start uploading all your videos there, because it is working immensely. Sticks and Hexenhammer 666, he jumped over to BitChute. Paul Joseph Watson's over there now. And I heard that even the Rebel.media is moving over to BitChute. And I'll tell you, man, they're kicking ass. So I'm thrilled. YouTube sucks. Facebook sucks. There are alternatives. Go find them. Start using them. There we go. There's my rant. How's everybody else?
Well, you know what, Kevin? I'm going to make a point of looking at it. I know I signed on there, but I'm actually going to start doing some more work over there as opposed to the media giants that I've been using. At this point, I'm still using the enemy's tool against them, but we're seeing unbelievable levels of censorship coming into all the major medias now, and we got to make a change for sure, and this is also a legitimate alternative. What about that little shooting you had there last night in Mississauga? Isn't that great?
Yeah, wonderful. Let's tell everybody what's happened in Mississauga here. I don't know if many of you know it, but Mississauga is arguably either the 5th or the 6th biggest city in the country, population-wise. We know it's over 1 million people now. There's so many illegal aliens here and so many illegal gangs here and all kinds of crap that's just been dropped on the city, that they really don't know what the population is. Huge. Previous mayor, her name was Hazel McCallion. She was the mayor for 36 years, and everybody was afraid of her, even though she was only 5 feet tall. She ran it. Whatever she said was law, and nobody got out of line. And the city seemed to function not great, but well. We'll say very well. This idiot Bonnie Crombie has now taken her place, and I'm sure Hazel regrets endorsing her. And as it turns out, as we have all learned, I think even you know this, Barry, Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood and is best friends with Ikra Khalid, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, who cooked up that M103 doctrine, the Sharia law bit in this country. And both of them combined didn't want me running against Bonnie Crombie in last year's mayor race. So they went ahead and they filed a false criminal charge against me, mm-hmm. For hate speech, Section 319, subsection 2 in the criminal code. So, and that trial is not even coming up until 3 years after the initial arrest date. So it most likely is just going to get perked because it can't go through. I certainly won't let it. I certainly won't cooperate with it. We have this mayor here that is taking money from ISI, from Pakistan Spy Agency, but also taking it in from the Muslim Brotherhood and taking it in from other very nefarious individuals here, and is allowing all of the dirt that the rest of the world is throwing away to move into our city and to get onto welfare and do what they do. And we know what they do, Barry. When you've got uneducated idiots coming into your country who are part of a god-awful ideology, we know which one. First off, we'll say it, Islam. But secondly, the ideology of kill the white man. This is the biggest thing in the world right now, is kill the white man. So you've got these hate mongers coming in from Sudan and Somalia, Ethiopia, Yemen, and other places as such. They form gangs, and then they just go commit crime. So last night we had one killed and five shot. This is Bonnie Crombie's new Mississauga. This is our new Mississauga. And shootings are now more prevalent in Mississauga than they are in Western Toronto. So we want to thank our mayor very much for importing the worst of the worst of the dregs of humanity. Thank you, Bonnie Crombie, for destroying my hometown.
Yeah, seven individuals is what the story is. And they randomly opened fire into a group of people. I mean, it just blows my mind that this stuff is going on in our society right now. But what do you expect? Like you said, Kevin, when you open the doors to these individuals and they have no intention of assimilating to Canadian culture, they come from a culture that propagates war, destruction, death, that life means nothing to them, and you put them in our society, of course they're going to form gangs, and now we're starting to see the results. What's it going to take for people to wake up? One of their relatives killed? Are they going to start screaming then, Kevin? I don't know, man. We've slid. Go ahead.
We've already had a Muslim fanatic run over 15 people with a van, did it right in front of the cops, and the best the cops could do was just chase him until the van wheels broke when he hit a curb. If he hadn't broken the axle or the ball joints up front, that van would have killed more people. What happens here is the CBC goes into full crisis mode for the Liberal Party and tells all of us he was part of an incel gang. He was a guy that couldn't get laid, so he killed people. No, he was a radical Muslim. Let's call it what it is. Then we have the discovery of enough carfentanil in Etobicoke, Western Toronto, to kill every single citizen in this country. It's a radical Muslim. You know, these are the problems. So it's already here. All this radical Islam crap is already here. All these Somali and Ethiopian gangs, they are already here. They've set up shop. They're deeply ingrained. And as a result, what this is going to do for all of us here in Canada is it's going to force the Americans to close the border off. So commerce, which we don't really have in this country anymore, is going to become less and less. Why? Because the average Canadian individual, regardless of skin color, that's born here, is not going to be able to cross the border, period. So we're screwed. What we're doing here is we're turning Canada into a prison that we, the Canadian people, are not going to be able to escape, because we have one border. That's the Americans. Where else do you go?
Unbelievable. I know. And it's just I am seeing Canadians now wake up en masse, Kevin. That's the one good thing that I am seeing now. I'm actually engaging in conversations where people are really starting to express disdain for what's going on. But I hear it a lot that what can we do? We're just one individual, that we have no power. Well, people don't realize the power they have, and a good example of that is Norma Travesty, what he's doing right now. Let's talk about that for a couple minutes and bring people up to date with what's going on with that.
Okay, let's talk about that.
No kidding. I love the guy. Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, well, Norman Travesty originally contacted me a year ago to show me all of the illegal stuff that Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie was doing, and he actually successfully got her charged with 8 criminal offenses. Now, Bonnie Crombie at the time still had access to a couple of people that worked in the Brampton courthouse system, and they got the charges thrown out. So there we go. That's how corrupt this country is. Our politicians can make one phone call saying, please don't let them go through the criminal charges, and they don't. That's just how Canada works. But Norman did not give up on it. He continued pursuing it, and then he Then he started talking to me about the idea of charging the prime minister. I said, well, shit, where do we begin? Sorry, pal. I say, oops, where do we begin? Do we begin with the high treason? Do we begin with fraud? Do we begin with conspiracy to commit fraud? Fraud over 5,000? Theft over 5,000? I mean, there was all kinds of criminal charges started flowing through my head there. But Norman, he did all the research. He did all the paperwork. And just went ahead and did it, and then made a phone call to me saying, Kevin, I did it. They accepted the charges. And that's when he and I had discussed the idea of putting the form, the charges form on freedomreport.ca, which all of you can grab right now, freedomreport.ca/jailTrudeau. Download the form, sign it, take it to your local courthouse and say you want to charge them. But here's the problem. Here's another problem is a lot of the courthouses across the country simply don't want to do it. I was at the Brampton courthouse and the one justice of the peace gave me a really difficult time telling me that I had the wrong numbers. I was citing the wrong numbers out of the criminal code. And I said, no, I did not cite the wrong numbers. But I said, all right, I'll listen to this nonsense that's coming out of your mouth, and I'll come back. And what I will do is I'm going to go back with the same form, but the sections completely printed out, and I'm just going to hand everything over to them. So what we really have here is a whole bunch of justices of the peace who want to stay in long enough to get their really cushy buyout packages at the end or their long-term – what's the word there? Pension. There you go. That's what I'm looking for. Pension. Yeah. They don't want to risk that. So the JPs are telling people that they can't put the charges through. But it's nonsense. It's a lie, everybody. It is an absolute lie. They can put them through, and they have. They've done it three times in Ottawa, and I understand they've done it once in Calgary. Some lady called me up. She was jolly as could be, saying that they accepted the charges. I'm thinking, great. So just keep at it. You know, we need 10,000 Canadians to go into courthouses and file these charges. Just keep doing it, everybody. But here's the other part of it. Don't just do it with Justin Trudeau. Use the Justin Trudeau file there, the template that Norman has put together, and look up the laws that your local politicians have been breaking. And start hitting your local politicians. I'll be doing the same thing against Bonnie Crombie, for example, for terrorism, for money laundering. There's all kinds of charges I'm putting down in there. I'm going to keep going to the courthouse and laying these private informations until the charges stick. That is what we can do, everybody in Canada. We have that ability, and the forms are free to print out.
You know what, Kevin? I think Canadians are waking up to a shiny little tool in their toolbox that we didn't realize that we had. And what's going on right now with this, everybody's got their fingers and toes crossed that it goes forward, because if it does, you're going to exposure of the Liberal government and the corruption that's going on inside our government, the criminality that we've never seen in Canada before. So I say kudos to everybody that's doing this. It takes courage to do this in today's world. It really does, and it's sad to say that we're that state in Canada, but we are. It takes courage to stand up against the government because you're sticking your neck out. But if enough of us do it, they're going to hear it. And what CBC is going to say about it, that'd be interesting to find out, wouldn't it, Kevin? How are they going to cover this story?
CBC will, they'll make something up, but they just won't cover it at all. Let me tell everybody that's listening, though, this is an observation that I've made, and I'd like you all to really listen to. The people that work in government, I've met a lot of them. And what I find funny is that when I walk into a room now, whenever there's politicians in the room, they spot me. Everybody looks. You can hear the record scratch. Zip. Oh, geez, everyone stops talking for a second. There's Kevin J. Johnston. Now, you all have that power, too. You can become a thorn in the side of politicians like I have done. And to clarify what that means is they're afraid. Politicians are afraid. They're all fear-filled. At the risk of sounding like a jerk, none of them know how to fight. They're all wimps. Physically, they are wimps. And it shows in the way that they walk, in the way they dress, in the way they hide behind other people. Now, why is that important? Why would I make the observation that they're wimps? Well, if somebody is very weak physically and they know it, that tends to make them very weak emotionally and spiritually and intellectually. And you'll find that just about every politician in this country is a complete wimp in all four of those. They can't hold a candle to the average Canadian. They can't answer questions. They don't have cogent arguments whenever a serious question comes up. They couldn't fight to save their lives, and they certainly don't have the presence of being to walk into a room and have anybody care or pay attention. Most of them have absolutely no charisma. So once they get these positions, the only thing that they want to do is make sure they keep them. They're just afraid of losing that job. Mm. And fear is a powerful enough motivator for them to start doing what we tell them to do. If enough of us, if enough Canadians can get off their butts, put down the coffee and the beer, and start attacking our politicians. Of course, I mean attacking using legal means. We're not at the road yet where we have to use violence, and I hope that we never are. But attack them. You know, sue them if you have to. Do whatever it takes. You know, and let me tell you this, people. I'm not a lawyer, so this is not legal advice, but this is a tactic that I will use if I have to get a point across. Just write a letter, and you head over to a notary public. A lot of paralegals will do this. A lot of smaller law offices will do this. If you have a Loblaws, one of the superstores in your neighborhood, they tend to have small paralegal offices there. You take your letter in, you get it notarized. It's anywhere between 10 and 25 bucks, depending which lawyer it is. Now what happens is that is an official legal document. And that means that you can serve that legal document the same way that you can serve a lawsuit. Now, let's say, for example, 50 people all get some kind of notarized letter down, and you put demands in the letter. Here's the information that we want, and here's the day that we want it by. And start going to their homes. Start going to their children's school if you have to. Go to their spouse's places of employment. Serve those letters to members of their family. Camp on their front lawn. If you have a legal document to serve, you're allowed to camp on the guy's lawn. Pitch a tent. Pitch a tent. You know, get there at 2 o'clock in the morning and drink some beer on their front lawn. You know, talk really loud until they wake up and ask what's going on. And then when you go to serve them, they might close the door and whatnot. That's fine. Just keep knocking on the door. They'll call the cops. The cops arrive. You say, hello, constable or sergeant, whatever stripes he has on his shirt. I have this legal document to serve. I have had a difficult time serving this person. We know they're home. We've just identified them. All I want to do is serve this letter and leave. And if the cop says you have to leave, that's actually obstruction of justice. Then you call his supervisor and just tell the supervisor, look, you guys can't interfere with this. All I want to do is serve this letter and I'm out of here. All right. And then once you serve it, once you get it into their hands, you leave. You don't dance. You don't gloat. You don't insult them. You don't laugh. You don't do any of that nonsense. You just grab your stuff and you go. Now, what if the average politician started having that happen every single day of the week? Now they have to start doing what we want, we the people. This is the power that you have, Canada. They don't teach you this stuff in school, which really sucks. But now you know. Now you know a way that you can legally drive somebody batty that has done it, and it works. And I continue to do it.
I know you're driving them batty, Kevin, and I applaud you for that. But you know what you're talking about right now could be applied to any country in the world. Because we're seeing the same kind of agenda being unrolled on the people, no matter where you look in the world right now. You see the same thing going on. So what you're talking about right now could be applied to people that are listening in Ireland, Australia, or anywhere else in the world. It's a tool that we can embrace. And you brought some stuff to my attention here right now that I wasn't aware of. So kudos. We got to get off our feet and attack these guys, Kevin, because if we don't,
we do.
We're going to lose this. We are.
Well, we are. And there is something I'll say here, and this tends to upset Canadians, but, you know, it still has to be said. There is a complacency and an apathy in this country that is gross. It's disgusting. It's vile. I've been to many countries around the world, and I'll say this, that Canadians are the most apathetic and the least eager to get involved with anything that's not within their immediate circle. That is not a good way to live. That is not a patriot. That is not somebody who loves their country. That is someone who's inwardly focused and selfish. And the average Canadian is just not interested in what's going on around them and not interested in what other people have to say or not interested in other people in general. And I think that that is very sad. Now, best example I can give you is whenever I've been to Thailand and Myanmar, they're third world countries. You know, the major cities are considered second world. But when I'm in the third world areas, people there are happy. You know, families, they sit with each other. They talk with each other. All the families on the street are talking to each other. Everybody knows everybody in the small towns and villages that they live in. You know, here, the street that I live on right now, I can actually see 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 26 houses I can see right now. And I only know five of my neighbors because I've tried to talk to people and they're not interested. I say hello, good morning, how are you? My name is, and they're just not interested, period. And I think that's absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's the lack of interest that Canadians have in being involved in anything, their own street, their own neighborhood, their children's schools, the local region they live in, the ward, the voting ward that they live in, their hometown, their current town. Apathy has allowed this to happen. When you're not interested in other stuff around you, the people who are interested in taking your money and giving you nothing in return, they flourish because they know you're not going to do anything about it, period.
Oh, did we lose him or did I lose you guys?
Okay, yeah, I'm back. So I just got a bug there. Anyway, yeah, so that's my point here. Sometimes people get offended by what I say. You know, Canadians will look at me and say, well, that's not right. You can't talk about your countrymen like that. And I say, well, I guess by the law of the way things work, since I'm born here, yes, I can. Yeah, I can. And I'm saying this not to be cruel, and I'm not saying this to be comedic. I'm saying this because I'm deeply concerned about the level of apathy that there is in this country. We need more people to care about more things more often. And we need people to pay attention, even if it's only 5% of your week, just look into local politics and see what...
Oh, we lost them again. Don't know what happened there.
He's still in the call.
Yeah, I don't hear him talking.
I thought he said somebody must have called him earlier or something. Somebody must have called him again.
Okay, anyways, what Kevin was saying is so true, folks, that we as Canadians are a very apathetic society. When I grew up as a child in Canada, my parents knew everybody. For two blocks around me in downtown Toronto, and I grew up on Dury Street in downtown Toronto, probably one of the roughest areas in Toronto now. My parents knew everybody and they had no fear of letting me go out in the neighborhood at night and walk around as they wanted to find me. And they couldn't find me. They'd phone a neighbor a block away or a block, two blocks away and I'd be sent home. But we don't see that now in society that we have been.
He just tried calling, so I'm trying to call him back.
Yeah, we've been turned into a society that seems to have lost their heart for their fellow man. And that's a deep subject to get into. There's multiple reasons we see that. It's a very deep rabbit hole to go down. I don't think we have enough time today to go down tomorrow.
Okay. I don't know what happened there. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you continue on. I was just continuing on with your thoughts about how apathetic Canadians are.
I've made my point. I don't want to beat a dead horse on that. I want to listen to what you had to say on apathy. Go ahead, please. Let me hear it.
Well, I agree exactly with everything you said. I agree with Kevin that we've become a very apathetic society, but our forefathers weren't like that. Our forefathers had intestinal fortitude, and they watched out for their friends and their neighbors, and they cared about their family. When I grew up, Kevin, I grew up in one of the worst areas of Toronto now, and my parents had no fear of letting me walk the streets at 8, 9, 10 years old. They wanted to find me. They could call the neighbor a block away, and I could always be sent home. We don't have that in our society now. There's multiple reasons why that has happened. That's a deep rabbit hole to go down. But there's an old saying, you know, if you keep people distracted and keep them entertained, they won't look over here. And that, in a nutshell, what I've seen happen in our society, combined with multiple other factors, condition of our health is general in society, the amount of vaccines that we're putting into our children, what we're eating in our food. It's all part of an orchestrated attack on the human heart, soul, and being, in my opinion. And we see ourselves now as a society that doesn't have the fortitude to stand up against something that is so obvious and so in our face and represents such a great threat to the future of the country that we can't see Canadians getting their acting gear. But I do see some people now starting to stand up, Kevin, but you're absolutely correct. How have we gotten here?
We've gotten here. I'll tell you how we've gotten here. Let's start with the basics. Radical feminism got its meat hooks into our schooling system, period. Radical feminism got in there and started telling little girls that you're better than boys, you're stronger than boys, you can do everything a man can do and better and so on. And boys, you're terrible, you're bad, you're evil, each and every one of you is a rapist. That type of message got out there and it softened our youth. And that's been happening for quite some time. I would say that men, males, let's call them males. Males have not been men in this country for a good 20 years. It is pathetic. Masculinity has been under attack for that long, more so under the Trudeau government than ever before. But it's happening. So we have a lost generation of boys who would love to date a decent girl. They want to get laid or go on a date or do whatever it is, but they're terrified even to talk to them. And what we have now, if you ever really stop and pay attention to you, when you have girls and boys who are under the age of 20 in the same space, maybe they know each other from school or from whatever, the girls speak to the boys with hate, with anger, with vitriol, with poison in their voice. There is absolutely no respect whatsoever. And the guys are putting up with it. And I got to remember the 70s. Women wouldn't even dream of talking to men like that because it was just disrespectful. So we've reversed everything in our society here where the men are staying home and doing nothing because they can't find work. And the women are all working a full-time job and a part-time job, and they're the breadwinners, and our society is paying for it because neither side is happy with that. As men, it was our job for 250,000 years to gather, to hunt, to kill, to protect, to be men. And now we don't. Men don't do that, and they're lost. So with women, I'll say this, the ones who have bought into this feminist tripe that where they state that they don't need a man in their lives, well, there's a lot of women in their late 20s, early and mid-30s who go to work and they put on that strong BS facade. It is nonsense. It's a facade. They put that on, then they go home and they cry themselves to sleep eating ice cream on the couch. Why? Because they've chased away every potential mate that ever came across their pathway. Their biological clocks are ticking. They haven't had a baby yet, which they really want to do, but they still are hanging on to the feminist notion that having children is bad. Now, what blows my mind in all of this is there's not a single solitary psychologist or scientist or doctor or psychiatrist or whatever. There is no professional out there saying, hey, ladies, don't get involved with a man. The ones who are saying this are hardcore, disgustingly obese. We'll call them women, but they're barely that. With short hair, they got blue armpit hair, they've got tattoos on their face. That's who's throwing all this information out. And it's incredible that the average person is listening to these disgusting individuals and taking what they say as fact, even though they have no merit in what they say and nothing to back up any of the tripe that they are spewing. So how is it that our society is falling apart? Our entire society is taking advice from morons. Just because somebody is loud does not make them right.
Well, I call them evil, Kevin. I call them evil. That's what I call them. Because what we see going on right now in our society, it doesn't matter what aspect of society you look at, we're seeing a society that's being undermined, and we see the family unit. And that, to me, is the most important structure in any family. If you look at history, when a society loses the family unit in that society falls apart. And what we see right now is a mass attack on our youth through gender confusion, through programs in school where they're being indoctrinated, where we're feeding them food that is absolutely destroying their brain. We see children by the thousands being put on Ritalin, absolutely destroying any kind of future they have. And this is being condoned and supported by society. We're going to end up with a society of zombies. It's funny, you know, Kevin, when they brought out Zombie Apocalypse, how many years ago did that come out? About 15 years ago? Well, you know, and I know that mainstream loves to put it into people's faces what's coming in the future. And people laughed at that movie and go, ha ha, great entertainment. Well, where are we now? Where are we, folks? We're walking around. We have a society, literally, that's walking around that is dumbed down. And I see this everywhere. I ask people questions, general questions, and they're honestly stuck for an answer. So what they're doing is working very, very well. And it also allows people to be indoctrinated in a much, much easier way because they really haven't got a clue what's going on. Go ahead, Kevin. That's just part of the program. That's part of it. It's multiple attacks from multiple different levels, but go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, when we got transgenders, we got, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, you mentioned food. I'll start with food. Take it from a guy who this is a lesson I had to learn the hard way. what had happened is when just after my daughter was born, my wife, she was losing her mind at home. So I said, fine, I'll convert half the house into an office for me. You go back to work and I'll do half days kids and half days office and whatnot. And I enjoyed it. I did like being a stay-at-home dad for the 3 years that I did it. But in that time, I also made really good friends with Doritos, hot dogs, hamburgers, and steak. And, you know, I got to this bad habit of having an appetizer and then a steak dinner, washing it down with a Coke or something sugared, and then a dessert afterwards. And I started – well, first, I got to 272 pounds. Not good for a guy who's 5'6". Not good at all. And one day, a friend of mine looks at me and says, holy smoke, you're the Goodyear blimp. You got to fix what you're doing. And he was right. So I made a drastic shift to diet. And all of a sudden, when I got rid of steak, when I got rid of ice cream, apple pie, all the junk out there, and I got into proper meal plans with the appropriate amount of greens, the appropriate amount of chicken, no dairy. Dairy is nonsense. Breads, like one bread a day. Don't do four or five, like they say. All of a sudden, I was awake longer. I was able to do 20-hour days, no problem. I was eager to go and exercise because the food, the energy I was deriving from food was incredible. And I dropped 70 pounds by default with changing my diet. Gout attacks went away and sleep apnea went away. Diet is absolutely key. And you are correct in what you said, that we are pumping our kids full of crap, garbage, stuff that is not good for them in any way. So that's the dietary thing. And the next part of it's going to be, as I mentioned, masculinity. Even when the dads are at home, they're not that masculine. Like they're not dudes. They're just kind of lost little boys. That's what it seems to be. And this is, this problem of a lack of masculinity is angering women beyond reproach. Women are angry because they cannot find or keep masculine men in their life. And they're constantly belittling and yelling at their men. And that doesn't help the man get out of his rut of being not so masculine. It actually makes it worse. So the lack of masculinity, the bad diet, that's screwing up our kids completely. Then the kids go to school and they have to listen to this, this LGBTQ nonsense. They have to listen to the fact that, hey, everybody's gay. Are you a boy? Let's cut your penis off and make you a girl because you're better off as a girl. Hey, you're a girl. You're stronger than boys. Beat that boy up. Go ahead. This is what we're doing to them, and we're screwing them up. But what makes me sick is the teachers, they're getting this curriculum, and they're teaching it. Just like Nazis, they're not questioning orders. They're just destroying kids and not questioning orders and not talking about it in any way. Why? Self-centeredness, selfishness. They have it made. Most of them make $100,000 a year. They get 2 months off at the summertime. They get 2 weeks off at Christmas. They get a week off in March. They have 10 or 15 professional activity days where they all get together and do lines in the staff room. This is putrid. Now the LGBTQ garbage that we've talked about has gone even further. Now it's in all of our youth sports, especially in Ontario. And we need to thank Sheldon Kennedy for that. It was terrible what happened to Sheldon Kennedy, the NHL player who was molested by his coach when he was still playing AAA. Terrible thing to happen. But I didn't do it to him. You didn't do it to him. Nobody listening did it to him. So how dare he go ahead and put programs together with former RCMP officers traveling the country like a vaudeville circus, telling all of us that white people are terrible and that only white people can be racist. And there are multiple genders and we have to be sensitive to this and teach kids this stuff at age 5 and 6. You want the truth? Sheldon Kennedy should be in jail for what he's doing. Because now, and I went to this in Hamilton, Ontario, now the part of the program for coaches is not, okay, guys, here's the rules. That's what coaching used to be. Here's the rules. Here are some tactics for coaching. Here's how you deal with parents. That is what coaching used to be. Now what they do is half of the session is talking about the LGBTQ mantra. That's what they do. So I actually stood up in the middle of the training program, and I asked the guy who was giving the lesson, I said, excuse me, sir, how long have you been a pedophile? And everyone just turns and looks at me. And he's, excuse me, sir? Oh, my goodness, no, that's not who I am. I said, look, even the way you're talking to me tells me there's something wrong with you. How dare you teach this to our coaches? And I told all the coaches, you guys should all consider quitting until this stuff goes away. And then I gave them all the stats and all the realities of everything that was being spoken about. And only two in the room of 50 got up and left. So there we go. These guys, I guess they want to volunteer their time to be coaches so badly that they will go ahead and poison the minds of children because Sheldon Kennedy says so, because our disgusting school boards say so. Anybody who buys into this LGBTQ garbage, you're a pedophile. That's it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're following orders. I don't care who shoved it in your face. And I don't care that you might lose your job. You're a pedophile. Simple. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really sad that we see this going on. And, you know, it's only a small percentage of society that's perpetrating this agenda. And they need to be called out more now than ever before because we see it just manifesting itself everywhere, Kevin. Some of the stuff that's going on, I'm going, where are the parents? Why aren't they down at the school board meetings in mass screaming at the top of their heads about this garbage that's being put into their children's heads? Well, okay. We've got a real problem
I'll
in society.
Answer that one too. No, yeah, I'm going to answer that one too.
Go ahead. That's what I put it out there for.
The Human Rights Commission. People mistakenly believe that the human rights commissions and tribunals actually have authority. They don't. Here's why they were created. The small claims system, and this crap started in Ontario, for everyone that knows. The small claims courts in Ontario were so flooded with people that were complaining about foolish things that the Ontario government decided to up the limit from $5,000 for small claim up to $10,000, and then they made a huge jump to $25,000. So if it's $25,000 or less, now you're in small claims in Ontario. $25,001 or more, you're in the Superior Court. Now, even going to $25,000, what was happening here is the courts were being inundated by really childish stuff. This woman who got that way through her parking spot, her to the front door, she wouldn't have to walk. I mean, heaven forbid, ask a Canadian to exercise. So she, now that she doesn't have to spend the $102 to file a small claim against the person who refused to give her his parking space that he paid for, she goes to the Human Rights Tribunal and gets in there crying her eyes out, saying that, oh, you know, my back is sore, my legs are sore, and I can't walk in, and he should give me that space, even though he pays for it, he should give it to me. Yeah. Now, for those who, again, don't know, these human rights tribunals, they're not courts. They're just a not-for-profit corporation. That's all they are. They get funding from the government. So when someone files a human rights tribunal complaint against you, all their expenses are covered. Everything is paid for because the tribunal handles everything. The tribunal accepts the paperwork on their behalf. The tribunal represents them with one of their lawyers, and the tribunal also is the judge, even though it's just a lawyer who's acting as a judge. Sometimes not even a lawyer, just a person. So imagine that you're up the creek three times. Their costs are covered, yours are not. And the same person who's prosecuting you is the same person who's judging you. Right? Think about that.
Right. So, I wouldn't be betting on me, Kevin.
It's totally illegal, is what I'm saying. And nobody's calling them out. And you know, I've been challenging the Human Rights Tribunal in Ontario to put me before them. I dare you. You bring me in there. You make me go into the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario. Because the second that you tell me that I have to give somebody money, boom, I'm going to put handcuffs on both your wrists and I'm going to arrest you for extortion. That's an indictable offense. Citizen's arrest allows me to do that if it's an indictable offense. I have to be witnessing the crime. And at that point, when you say, okay, well, you owe money, boom, extortion. I'm going to put cuffs on them. And they know it, so they don't put me through there. In Ontario, our human rights tribunal is run by three radical Muslims, of course. All, of course, who are anti-Semites, anti-Christian, anti-Buddhist, anti-Hindu, anti-white man. They definitely are very, very anti-white man in Ontario. And the head of the commission is a disgusting individual named Renu Mandane, who is a radical Muslim. And she hates everything and everyone that's not in line with her agenda. She stands at 5'1". She's about 210 pounds. So she's a chunky little beast is what she is. And she will not answer questions. You can look at the video. If you go to kevinjjohnston.com, just type in her name, Renu Mandane. You'll see it where I follow her and question her. And she knew I was going to question her. So she called five police officers in to protect her. And I went over and introduced myself to all the cops. And I said, hi, my name's Kevin J. Johnston. I'm the reason that you guys were called here. And when Renu Mandane gets off the stage lying to everybody here, I'm going to ask her questions. And when she gets into her car invariably and leaves, I'm also going to leave. And the police look at me. They've never seen anybody tell them the truth like this before. And they say, well, okay, Mr. Johnston, you're allowed to. You know, I'm cool with the cops because we need them. I have zero beef with the cops, and I always cooperate as politely as I possibly can. So I did follow Renew out, and she wouldn't answer any of my questions at all. Just, you know, the same thing of pretending I wasn't there. But her assistant kept telling me that I had no right to question her. That was actually quite funny.
Yeah,
but think about this, everybody. Why is the average Canadian deathly afraid of a 5'1" fat slob in any way? You know, this person, you could just knock this person right in the teeth, and they would probably give up trying to pursue you. That is what I'm talking about here. Weak, 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 weak. We have weak people telling us what to do. And even people who say that they're strong and put on tough facades, they actually think these idiots have some type of authority. And they cave into it. I don't get it. I absolutely don't get it.
Talking about cops, Kevin, more than ever, we need to call the RCMP out in this country right now, because I'm sure you saw the reports that come out in the last couple of days, the fact that right now we have a major problem in the RCMP. One thought I wanted to share with you real quick here, Kevin, is last winter I was playing hockey on a regular basis with a constable of the RCMP. And, you know, I don't normally talk with cops, but, you know, I start engaging him once in a while. And after talking with this guy, I found out that he's just a family man, that he signed on to the force for certain reasons. But we got into a heart-to-heart about what I see going on in the RCMP right now. And he told me, Barry, he says, you know what? He says, the constables, all the guys in my department right now, in my detachment, are absolutely disgusted with what, this is his words exactly, Kevin, are disgusted what they see going on in the upper level management of the RCMP. Was his words exactly. So I think you're going to see an internal struggle. I hope we see an internal struggle in the RCMP. They need to be called out, and they are supposed to be the enforcer of laws in Canada, and yet we see them absolutely going shambles on laws right now in Canada. They need to be called out. My thoughts.
Sure they. Go ahead. Oh yeah, well sure they. You know, I do not disagree with any of that. They absolutely have to be called out. But you're, what we have here is the higher ups have told us at every level to stand down. That's what's happened here.
Exactly.
Stand down. If it's
exactly.
a liberal idea, stand down. If it's an LGBTQ maniac like that Jessica Yaniv moron out in Vancouver, stand down.
Yeah.
If it's a member of Black Lives Matter, even though they've publicly announced that they want all white cops dead, stand down. That's the biggest problem here. So they've been instructed to stand down. Look, I know this. Cops call me all the time, and I have conversations with them all the time. They're telling me this stuff. Now, they don't go on record, which is fine, and I keep private conversations private, but the gist of it is this. More than half of our cops want to do something different and better, but they're not allowed to. That is that simple. The orders are coming down, and any police force, doesn't matter where they are in this country, they're all hierarchical collective command structures. So you've got your lowest ranks up their highest ranks, and whatever the highest rank guy says, everybody has to follow. Or you don't get paid, you lose your job, or you go on administrative leave. Whatever it might be, they'll interfere with your capacity to make a living. So yeah, we do have to call out the RCMP. They're actually my least favorite of the police forces right now, because regrettably what's happened with, they no longer has what they factor in of, liberals. Hopefully that changes. Hopefully we can get, Jihadi Justin out of office and have that change. And I'm certainly hoping that whoever takes the mantle up after this at least reopens the investigation and tells them, find something to put half the Liberal Party behind bars with, please.
Absolutely. It's where they belong, Kevin.
We need balls. You know, we need balls.
Go ahead. Absolutely. Well, I guess the point I was making is that, you know, this constable I am talking to, he's at a point right now, he's almost at a breaking point. And, I can see the struggle that's going on. And, you know what? If enough of them, maybe the call out should be to all the honest cops in this country right now that actually believe in Canada to take a stand. Because if they all did at the same time, Kevin, I think you'd see some major turmoil inside the police departments, because there is a lot of them that are honest cops and have the best interest of the future of the country in mind. But they, like you said, they're being controlled and told to stand down. If that doesn't dictate to people how far we've gotten into a fascist society, I don't know what to say, Kevin. We're under a full-blown fascist dictatorship, and people don't realize it. Go ahead.
Well, they don't realize it because they don't understand it. They don't know what it is. My biggest problem in my youth was I hated school because I knew I was wasting my time. I've always been of the notion that smart people don't go to school. Smart people go and learn on their own. And I kept begging in school to learn something interesting, something of value, but that's not the way our school system is set up, regrettably. So we have a whole society of people that don't understand the difference between democracy and communism, you know, between monarchy and fascism. They have no idea what these things mean. And I think really, I have to say that I'm also a little bit guilty of that myself. I didn't really fully comprehend governmental structure myself until that video game came out like 25, 30 years ago. Civilization, Sid Meier's Civilization, because that is what he built his whole game around, is you build a civilization and you choose the type of government, and then you interact with other civilizations through diplomacy or through war or through everything else. And I'm thinking, wow, this video game for DOS has taught me more in 3 hours of playing it than I ever learned in high school combined.
Sad a video game's got to be your instructor. Go ahead.
Well, it's pathetic, don't you think? Thank God I was the type of guy that really liked to play the strategy games. But what I'm saying here is my eyes were open to it, and not enough people are curious enough to take information that they might learn somewhere and expand upon it. Now, I am a curious guy, and maybe I could ask all of you to start being a bit more curious. When I hear a word that I've never heard before, I immediately am on dictionary.com reading it up and then looking at tenses on it and proper usage of it. I want to know everything about that word, including the etymology of the word. And that is what has granted me the large vocabulary that I have, is my just sheer interest in learning. And I wish more people had the same interest in learning that I do. And if we had that, believe me, we wouldn't have any trouble, because everybody would be able to identify what the real problems are and who's at fault. If you want to blame somebody, you need to understand the problem before you issue the blame. And if you understand all these concepts, then you know exactly who's responsible and who you can make pay the price for it. Curiosity is something that's gone. I mean, video games back then, they were DOS driven, so you only played them for an hour or two and you got bored, then you went to the bar and tried to pick up a chick, or you went and played hockey or soccer or something. Video games now, they're essentially 75 hour motion pictures that you are the star in. So why would you leave? Why would you stop playing any particular game now? And I've played a couple of these games, so, you know, I'm guilty as well as everybody else. It's just that I play one of these games and I walk away from the system for a long time to come. But you'll find our society now, like males 35 and under, they buy a video game, they'll take a week off work and they'll play the game until it's over. And then they'll play it a second time. But here's the deal though, is the average guy right now, and this is very scary, the average guy right now under 35 who owns a home video game system is playing 7 of these 75 hour games a year. 7 times 75 hours. You could build a lot of muscle in the gym in that kind of time. You could meet a lot of women if you were dedicating that time just to going out and meeting ladies. You could read a lot of books in that time. You know, you could see a lot of documentaries in that time. You could have a lot of games of chess with your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, whatever, in that amount of time. So I'm hoping to just inspire people to think a little differently than they have been. And not because I'm a genius. It's because I'm concerned that if we all don't start thinking, we're not going to have anything to think about anyway. Country's going to be gone. We're going to be living in a Sharia law, Islamo-fascist dump that the Americans will have no choice but to seal the border on. And you'll have no economy. You'll be in a socialist government where the government takes care of you. And I'll put that in quotation marks. But that just means that you're going to have nothing to your name, aside from what they say that you're going to have. So everybody has to snap out of the idea that the government taking care of you is a good idea. It's not. Or that other people taking care of you is a good idea. It's not. You are completely responsible for you. A simple idea is you stay thin enough and light enough so that a fireman can actually pull you out of a burning building. It's not his job to make sure that he brings 7 more guys in to get you out of the building. It's your job to make sure that he can do it. That's your responsibility. McDonald's is not at fault. Okay? You are.
There you go. Kevin, we're down to the last 3 minutes. The hour went really quick. I could spend another hour talking because I haven't touched on a lot of things I wanted to bounce off you today, but the last couple minutes here, would you share with people where they can get in touch with you and watch your videos and links that people can find you? And we're going to have to close out the hour very quickly. I'm going to have to get you back here in the near future.
Oh, I can't wait to come back, Brian. I really appreciate this. Like, if you want to watch my videos and see my updates, go to freedomreport.ca, www.freedomreport.ca. If you're really curious about all the social media that I'm on, there's a button at the top of the black bar, right at the top of the website. It says social media. I've put graphics there for you. You can find out all of my social media, my Twitter, my Facebook page, my YouTube channel, BitChute, and so on. It's all there waiting for you. But if you're in a hurry to see all my videos, I have all 1,300 of my videos up on my BitChute channel. So just type in my name, kevinjjohnston.com. And there's probably 6 months worth of time that you could spend watching everything that I've posted. And that is, that's the YouTube alternative that rescued me each and every time YouTube shut me down. So I want to thank Ray Vahi very much. He's the president of BitChute. Thanks, Ray, if you're listening. And Barry, thank you for having me on the show. Great to hear from you again.
Awesome to have you on, Kevin. Like I said, we'll get you back here in the very near future. I want to thank both my guests for joining me today. And, you know, really, folks, it comes down to, you know, looking inside yourself and looking in the mirror right now and asking yourself, what is the most important thing in my life right now? And really, I come up with one answer and one answer only, and that's to ensure my children are going to grow up in the society that I grew up. And what I see going on right now in Canada and around the world, I have to say to myself that if we don't put stops to this right away, that they are going to curse us, because the information is in front of our face. We know that this is going on. We have no excuse for ignorance. Ignorance is bliss, and silence is consent, folks. It's time to stand up, grow some testicles, and get involved, because if we don't, honest to God, folks, we are going to regret it so much in the near future here that we can't even get into describing what's coming. I don't know what else to say to you. We really, really need time to take a stand and stand for your values and what you believe in life. Thanks for joining me this week, and thanks to Kevin, and thanks to Billy. I'll be back next week with a couple of really cool guests. Please join me again. Have a great week. God bless you all, and talk to you soon. Bye for now.